Let us pray. Our wise and our merciful God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you thankful for this, another day of life that you've given us, for the many blessings, Father, you've given us in this life, for the comfort that we have, the group here at Elliottsville that gathers together to worship you. But above all, Father, we're thankful so much for the blessing of your Son. As we study tonight, humbly came into this world to become our sacrifice for our sins, Father. Father, we're so thankful for his example of obedience, for his love for you, that he went to the cross, Father, and died that cruel and horrible death. But through that, Father, we know that as you loved us, he loved us as well. And that he stayed on that cross for that we, through his blood, could have that hope of eternal life and remission of our sins. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would forgive us of those things that we do wrong, that we do in error and contrary to your way. We pray, Father, that you would help us to recognize those times when we have fallen short, that we will make those corrections in our lives, Father, that we will come to you and repent of those things and turn again, Father, to walk the straight and narrow path that leads to salvation, that leads to eternity with you. Heavenly Father, we are mindful of those that we know of that are sick, especially those that we mentioned this evening, those that are dealing with COVID. We pray, Father, for Ethan and for Ezra, that you would help them to make a full recovery from this virus. We pray for Sister Holiday, for her recovery from her fall with her foot. We pray that you would help her, Father, to mend and return to better portions of her health. Father, there are so many more that are on the minds and hearts of those here. We pray that you would be with them. Above all, Father, we pray that your will be done in all things concerning them. Father, we're mindful of those that are traveling away from us, especially, Father, those that are serving in our military. We're specifically, Father, pray for Elijah and for Noah and for Jake as they're away from their families at this time doing various service in the military. We pray for all their safety, Father, and we pray for their swift return back to their homes. Father, we pray for this country. We pray that that we can have peace, Father, throughout this land, that the divisiveness would come to an end, Father, that we would follow your precepts, Father, to love our neighbors as ourselves. We pray that you would be with those that represent us in our government, that they would seek after godly wisdom, Father, to make laws and to execute those laws, Father, that are in accordance with your will. Father, we pray for the one that will bring us the message this evening. We pray that you give them a greater remembrance of those things. And we pray, Father, that we would take those things, apply them to our lives, and take them out into the world, that we can shine your glory, Father, in the world, and bring many souls to come to a knowledge and obedience to you. Father, we ask that you be with us through this time of worship, that we do everything, Father, in truth and in spirit, in obedience to you. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Good evening. Just a few words tonight on the subject of Christ being in us. The subject of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a subject that seems to cause a lot of confusion with many people. But what I find interesting is that the Scriptures have a lot to say about, you know, God dwelling in us and also Jesus dwelling in us, and we don't seem to have the same problem with those statements as we do with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And they're all spiritual beings. And so I'd like to just look at a couple of passages here where it talks about, you know, God dwelling in us and also Christ dwelling in us, and make some applications. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, It says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So we certainly do understand that God dwells in us, and we dwell in him. And we understand the implications of that. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But in John chapter 15, we also see it mentions that Christ dwells in us. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. So we see here that we abide in God and God abides in us. We abide in Christ and Christ abides in us. And so we also see that the Spirit dwells in us. And so when you see what we are talking about with God and Christ, I think it makes it much easier to understand how the Spirit abides in us as well. In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life is life because of righteousness. What do we see in each one of these examples? It's a relationship. Each one of these is talking about a relationship. And people, when they get to thinking about, you know, something dwelling in you, they're thinking about location. They think about location instead of relationship. But really, what we're seeing here with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, it's all about the relationship that we have with God. And so, what are the implications of that if someone dwells in you? When one dwells in you, it's implying that we have a love for God. That if he dwells in us, then we have similar goals. In John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24, John 14, 23 and 24 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. You see the phrase that Jesus said here, if you love me, then our home is with you. Then we are living with you. And so this is talking about that relationship. So if one dwells in you, then you love them. And you know, what happens when somebody is in love? You know, you can't stop thinking about them. That's all that you think about. And I remember when my brother Alan was dating Julie, and we just used to joke with it. Everything that you say, it's Julie this, Julie that, Julie, Julie, Julie. All the time, he's talking about Julie. And probably the same thing has been said about each one of us that is married, that when we were dating, people may have gotten tired of us, you know, talking about our girlfriend, or if you're a woman, your boyfriend, or your fiance, or whatever. You know, Ethan did the same thing, always talking about Jesse, Jesse, Jesse. Well, why do you do that? Because you love them. They're on your mind all the time. And so when you could say that they're actually possessing you, that they're dwelling in you. And when we read about this relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, it's talking about something that should be on our mind. It should be in our hearts. It's something that we should be thinking about. Because when this is a relationship, this means that we love God, and it comes to play in the way that we spend our time and what our thoughts are centered around. You know, when a husband sees that his wife wants something or she enjoys something, he is more apt to help her with those things. There is probably very, very few husbands out there that have ever visited the Southern Living, you know, show house that really wanted to go, right? But they went because their wife wanted to go. You know, going to the Grand Canyon was never on my bucket list. There's not a Disney World park close to there, a Disney park close to it. So, but Jarrell really wanted to go see. And you know what? When I got out there, I was really glad that I did. But it was something that she wanted to do, and I wanted to do for her. And was that a drudgery? You know, did I hate every minute of it? No. Because love is something that makes that a pleasure. And if we have the love for God that we should, if He's dwelling in us, then being obedient to God is something that we should find pleasure in. It should not be something that is drudgery. And that's why it is so distressing when we start to develop the attitude, well, do I really have to go be with the brethren? Do I really need to go to services? Do I really have to be obedient to God? Well, what does that say? It says that maybe something's not dwelling in you the way that it should. Also, when one dwells in you, you develop the same types of attitudes and goals. And I think we can see this in Paul's letters. He expressed this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 20. He says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. But if anyone seems to be contentious..." I'm sorry, I think I'm missing a whole section of 1 Corinthians here in my Bible. And I did not tear it out on purpose. But what we see here, though, is that what Paul is expressing is that you have the same attitude that God wants you to have. When you are having Christ dwell in you, what do you do with His Word? You keep it close to your heart. And so we understand that we can choose to be spiritually minded, or we can choose to go in another direction. Another thing that we've already kind of touched on here is when someone dwells in us, you want to make them happy. You develop the same attitudes and you want to make them happy. In fact, you could use the phrase, you know, your wish is my command when it comes to our service to God. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, "By this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him." And so when one dwells in you, you want them to be happy. We want God to be happy with us. We don't want Him to be disappointed. And so we want to do what He would approve. And that's what John is saying. If you love Christ, the way that you show that is to do what Christ would have you to do. It is as simple as that. A child many times wants to please their parents. Now, I know that's not always true, but in general, especially young children, want to make their mother and father proud. They want them to be pleased with them. And our relationship with God is one that should show that we want to be pleasing to Him. So I think that the subject of indwelling is pretty simple when you look at it in the Scriptures. When you look, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, well, it means that our goals are the same as God's. That's what it means. It's about a relationship, and we have to cultivate that relationship. That God manifested His love for us, and we manifest our love for Him by keeping Him in us. And so that is the great thing about that relationship. I'd like to read for you just a very old poem, but one that I came across recently that I used to read quite a bit. I think it really hits home the way that we should have our life centered around Christ. And it's called If Jesus Came to Your House. So a lot of times we talk about the relationship we have with Christ, but we don't always think about Him being so close to us. What if somebody was coming over to your house? You know, we live in a time where we want advance notice usually. We don't want somebody that, you know, the drop-in company type of thing is not as popular as it used to be when my dad was growing up, when people would just show up unexpected somewhere. But what would we do if Jesus were coming to our house? You know, would we keep living the same way that we always do? Would we change anything? What does it say about our life? It goes this way. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if He came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give Him your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to Him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring Him you're glad to have Him there, that serving Him in your house is joy beyond compare. But when you saw Him coming, would you meet Him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let Him in, or hide some magazines, or put the Bible where they'd meant? Would you turn off the radio and hope He hadn't heard, and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you keep right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? Would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let Him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have Him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until His visit ends? Would you be glad to have Him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when at last He was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus in person came to spend some time with you. I can tell you that I didn't always like reading that. Didn't always like thinking about what my answers were to that. And what are our answers to that? When we think about God dwelling in us, we need to remember that He is there. He's with us all the time. And so if that was a little thought-provoking for us, would we really, you know, wonder about and change the way that we normally behave and and then sigh when it was finally all over, you know, that's maybe what's dwelling in us is not the right thing. So let's think about these things. Let's be encouraged to have God dwell in us so that we can be with Him in eternity. If we can help you in any way be obedient to the gospel, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Bow with me, please. Our dearest and most precious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee with gladness this evening for having been able to gather in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to worship You in these songs and in the study of Thy Word this evening. And we're thankful for our Bible class period, Father, where we could engage with one another to glean as much as we can from Thy Word, to learn about our Savior, to consider Your Word, and all of the wonderful things that You've revealed. Father, we're thankful to Thee for the plan of salvation that You put into place at the beginning of time when man had sinned and fallen short of Your glory, and that You worked for thousands of years to restore us to You in Jesus Christ, and then teach us and show us the way to be holy and righteous before Thee again. Father, we welcome Jesus to live within us and for You to be in our hearts and for the Spirit to be in us and to guide us and to help us express ourselves to You and to recall the Scriptures to our minds and be able to have comfort and peace knowing that we understand You and that we can find You because You are not far from us, that You are always with us and watching over and caring for us. Father, may we conduct such lives that You will be pleased to dwell with us and that we can live within the eternal and true God. Father, we're mindful of those who couldn't be here tonight. Many we've mentioned already who have succumbed to sickness and need to be recovered. We pray that You'll be with them and those helping them and ministering to them for their recovery. May we add, Father, to that Noah and pray that You'd be with him as he's out sick with us tonight as well, and that he can be back with us as well as all these others returning to us. Father, help us to take the truth that we've learned tonight, the encouragement that we've received from one another, and to overcome the difficulties and temptations of the day, to seek righteousness in our lives and to do what is good and right in thy sight, that you may be pleased with us and that we may be a glory to you and to those round about us can see Jesus reflected in our lives. Father, please be with us now and go to our separate homes. Keep us in peace. Keep us in safety and comfort according to your will. But in all things, Father, may we serve you and be pleasing to you and seek your will in all that we do every single day and every moment, every breath that we have on this world, so that we may be found faithful and can live with you for all eternity. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray with great hope. Amen.